Oops. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I am so thankful to see you all. I'm thankful that you all are here with us, and I'm thankful to have an opportunity to present a lesson from God's Word with you. I'd ask you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 is where we're going to be in just a couple of moments. So I also want to take a moment to express my thankfulness for all of those of you who are joining us online. I know there are several people, a lot of people, that are not yet able to be out with us, those who are coming to the 11 o'clock service as well. And however, I can't see you, you guys can see me, and I'm thankful for you all joining it. It's an encouragement to me. So, this morning I want to talk to us about God. And you think, well, Sean, that's kind of what we do every Sunday morning, right? Well, yeah, it is. But I want to talk to us about a particular aspect of God's character. And as you can see by the screen behind me, I think that this aspect of God's character is our faith's foundation. And so we're going to talk about that more in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want to share with you a story from my own life about why this aspect of God's character is so important to me. When I was about 17 years old, I began to struggle with these fears and these doubts and these questions about God. And they were really scary to me, and they were big. Questions like, what if God's not real? What if I'm wrong about God? What if heaven's not real? And those are scary. I gotta tell you, I mean, it scared me to think that I might live my life for Him and then die and God wouldn't be there. That I would put all of my trust in Him and He wouldn't be there. And I don't say that to introduce fears or doubts into people's minds, but I say it because I think that's pretty common. I think all of us, or many of us at least at some point in our lives, are going to struggle with those kinds of questions. I was scared of having the wool pulled over my eyes. And so what I did is I poured myself into studying these different evidences and clues and arguments for the existence of God. And those were really helpful. They were there. And like I said, they were helpful to me. But my fears and my doubts persisted. And it wasn't until I found this aspect of God's character that those began to go away. Now, I didn't discover it like it was never there before, but I found it for myself for the first time in God's Word. And it gave me comfort that I never had. It formed faith within me that I didn't have before. And I believe it seems as if that God knew we would struggle with doubts and fears and questions that we didn't feel like we had the answers to. And so He put so many things in His Word, but one of those things is this aspect of His character that, like I said, I think is our faith's foundation. It is the fact that God is faithful. I have you in Deuteronomy 7. Look at verse 9 with me. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." A few more verses up here on the screen to talk about this. Psalm 33, verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness." 36, verse 5, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." One more, Psalm, Isaiah 25, verse 1, "O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will give thanks to Your name, for You have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness." And so all over Scripture, those are only a few of what there are in Scripture. We see God's faithfulness stated. And so that's what I want to talk to us about this morning, is the faithfulness of God. The goal of this lesson is to help us to see and to know the Lord more clearly, particularly this aspect of His character. And I believe firmly that the better we understand God's faithfulness, it will arm us against our own fears, our own doubts, and our own struggles that are going to come up, whether they've come up already in our lives or if Satan is going to attack us later on. And so I want to do that by answering four main questions about God's faithfulness. The first is, what is God's faithfulness? Second is, why is it so important? Then how do we see it? And then so what? What does it mean for us? And so let's go ahead and get right into it. We only have a few minutes this morning. So what is God's faithfulness? Before we understand that, I think we have to understand what is faithfulness in general. And faithfulness is a steadfast affection or allegiance. It is a firm adherence to promises. And so you think about a faithful person as somebody who's going to follow through on their word. We think about faithfulness in marriage. You've made a marriage covenant, you've made a marriage vow, and you're going to see that through. You're not going to let anything get in your way of that. And so then what is God's faithfulness? God's faithfulness is the aspect of His character that tells us that He keeps His promises. That God does what He says He's going to do. That He follows through on His word. That He is trustworthy. And those passages that we looked at show that God is not just slightly faithful. God is not just sometimes faithful or mostly faithful. He is abounding in faithfulness. That His faithfulness is perfect, it is constant, and it is eternal. And so God's faithfulness is the aspect of His character that shows us He keeps His promises. And so why is it so important for us? And I'm going to continue to say this and I'll explain it, but it is the foundation of our faith. So David last week in a sermon, really helpful, he highlighted for us Hebrews 11 verse 6, which tells us that without faith, it is impossible for us to please God. That faith and trusting in God are core elements of our Christianity. And so without those, we cannot please God. Without those, we cannot have a relationship with Him. But without God's faithfulness, we have no faith. And maybe that sounds a little circular. His faithfulness enables our faith. Let me say it another way. We are called upon, we must trust in God. But how could we trust Him if He were not unequivocally trustworthy? If He were not constantly and always trustworthy, then we couldn't trust Him. We could have no faith. And if you take the faithfulness of God out of the equation, we have no reason to trust any aspect of His character, His statements, His promises, His grace, His mercy. Without God's faithfulness, we don't trust any of those things. God's faithfulness elevates Him above us. He is not fickle or capricious like we are at times. He is steadfast and He is unswerving to His purposes. And so it's the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of our knowledge of Him. It's the foundation of our relationship with Him. And so I think we could properly say that you could take all of Christianity and balance or rest it upon this fact that God is faithful. So that's why I think it's so important. Everything that we do is resting upon this. How could we trust Him if He were not always trustworthy? So how do we see it? I read off some passages that state for us the faithfulness of God. And I think those are emphatic in the ways that they describe God's faithfulness. But you can say a lot of things, right? If your actions don't back up your statements, they don't mean much. Brock could tell us that he's an extrovert. If he doesn't act consistently with that, though, I'm not going to believe it. And so how do we see God's faithfulness? How do we know that He is faithful? I think a couple of main ways that we see this. And the first is this. We don't just see God's faithfulness stated in Scripture. We see it played out on nearly every page of Scripture. And here's how. Every time that God makes a statement and then He follows through on that, that's His faithfulness. So every time in the Bible when you read, God says something like, I will deliver, and then God delivers, that's His faithfulness. And even those times where God says, I will destroy, and then God destroys, that's His faithfulness. So when you start seeing that, it's popping out to you on every page of the Bible as God is expressing to us that He is going to do what He says He's going to do. Even the first pages of Scripture, right? How does that begin in Genesis 1 and 2? God spoke, and it happened. And I think you see God's faithfulness even in that. But not only is it on nearly every page, I think it is one of the main themes of Scripture. It is the framework by which we understand God's Word, is the fact that He is faithful. And here's how I mean that. Let me say this. One of the ways that we understand the big story or the big picture of the Bible goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. What is the Bible all about? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, we learn what it's about. That's where God makes these promises to this man named Abraham. And we typically categorize those as three main promises that God makes to him. A great nation, a land, and that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so one of the things the rest of Scripture is showing us is God fulfilling each of those promises to Abraham. At the same time, interwoven with that, He is solving the problem of sin. And so God is showing us throughout His Word, this main arching theme of Scripture is that He is going to keep His promises. And so we open our Bibles to Exodus and the time of Moses, and the nation is born. The only problem is they're in bondage in Egypt. They're in slavery. God says, I will set you free. And He does it. He's faithful to His promise. And then we turn our Bibles further on. We come to Joshua chapter 3, and the Israelites are entering the promised land. The only problem is it's already inhabited. And so God says, I will conquer. And He conquers. God is faithful to that promise. But for this last promise, that all nations will be blessed, we have to wait a little while longer. Several thousand years go by before we see this promise fulfilled. And at times it looks bleak. At times it looks as if the light is going to go out on the Israelites, as if God's going to leave this last promise unfulfilled. But we come to the pages of the New Testament. And in Luke chapter 2, in verse 29 starting, you see Simeon as he sees Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in Jerusalem at the temple. And what does he say? He says, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Do you see it in there? That God was working salvation to all peoples, to the Gentiles, to all nations, that through Jesus Christ, God would fulfill that promise to Abraham. And so in through his son, God would both fulfill his promise and solve the universal problem of sin in one fell swoop. It's like a normal day on the job for God, right? You know, just taking care of these huge things all together and at once. That through Jesus, all people and all nations can be blessed. And though it seemed at times it would be impossible, as you read throughout the Bible, it was against all odds, and throughout several thousand years we see God working to follow through on his word. And so you see the faithfulness of God is the framework of the Bible. And that's how we see it. So last question. So what? What does it mean for us? A couple more passages. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm turning over there. You can turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 6. What does God's faithfulness mean for us? I want to give us two applications and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13, says this: "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you.' And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil." All right. So I'll tell you, that passage right there was one of the first ones that I began to see the faithfulness of God here in Hebrews chapter 6. But what you see in that is that God has made promises. And not only did he make promises long ago, but when we see God fulfilling those promises long ago, it relates to the promises he has made us today. Because in Christ we have promises, don't we? We have this hope of heaven like you see in this passage. We have a promise of a home, a house that is not made with hands, an inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven, that is unfading and glorious and eternal in the presence of God. He has promised that to us. And he has shown us, he desires in verse 17, to show us the unchangeableness of his purpose and the unchangeableness of his nature. That God is going to follow through, that God is faithful to what he has promised. And so when people like us or people like me, we struggle with fear and doubt and we say, "But God, I can't see it. God, I can't touch it. I don't know anybody who's been there and then been back. How do I know for sure that you're going to be there?" God says, "Because I am faithful. I keep my promises. I don't let people down. That's not who I am." And so God's faithfulness means that we can proclaim with confidence our home in heaven. We have assurance based upon who he is. We have hope. We have confidence. We have comfort. And it calls us to an unashamed and undivided and unreserved faith in him. That's what God means. We have assurance, we have comfort, because he is faithful. And the last thing, in Hebrews 10, verse 23 up here on the screen, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." I love that. Hold fast, this firm grip upon God. And why is that? Because he is faithful. And so what you see in that is that God is faithful, and he expects us to be faithful to him. When we put on Christ, we swore our allegiance to God. We swore that we would be faithful to him, and we made a covenant with him. And God's faithfulness to us means that we are faithful to him. We know pastors talk about that friendship with this world is hostility towards God. We can't have it both ways. And so his faithfulness calls us to an unswerving and unyielding loyalty to him. Nothing's going to come in the way of the covenant that I have made with God. That's what God's faithfulness means for us. We have assurance and we have faithfulness. So that's all that I have for us this morning. That's all the time we have for a lesson. Thank you guys for listening on. I hope that's been helpful for you to think about, at least get you thinking about the faithfulness of God, as it's been such a core and helpful thing to me. If anybody needs prayers, if anybody needs help from